Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners.
And congratulations. It seems like a long time ago that we knew this was in the offing, and it's only rolling around now. I'm not going to lie to you. I was chatting to Oisin this morning, and I thought, wow, did he get a second term? But this is just the beginning of your first term now.
That's correct, Greg. Last year in Galway, Betty was president-elect. The vote took place in Galway, so you know for a year before you come in. So basically, I was came in as national president on Saturday, and it's a four-year term.
Right, and it is a four-year term, as you mentioned. And do you believe there's momentum to be built on, or, you know, we are seeing, I think, progress, but how much progress do you want to see over the next the next 4 years?
Well, definitely, Greg. I mean, you know, we have come huge strides in the last 20 years as an association. But basically, you know, in 2018, we signed a memorandum of understanding between the GEA and Camogie. And basically, I want to build on this collaboration into the future and build stronger links with all the associations. But basically, what we've seen at national level, Greg, is basically like last year in 2020, at the start of the year, we've seen Donegal ladies playing before the Donegal's men in the National League in Croke Park. So basically, I want to see the continuation of this, more basically visible of our game, and that means more coverage of our game, but also basically see it at county and see it at club level. And basically, what I would be looking for basically down the line is basically, and you know, county final day, that basically you have the ladies' county final and you have the men's county final on the one venue.
Yeah, and from a Donegal perspective, what do you believe your presidency can do for the game in your own county?
Well, again, it's basically about getting our game out there into every family and every sitting up. But also, basically, it's getting our girls involved in our sport and maintaining it. Basically, you know, the numbers have built hugely, as I said, in the last decade. You know, if we go back to 15 years ago, we had about 80,000 members and that. So basically, as we stand today, we nearly have 200,000 members. And that's a huge event. But it's to get more people involved, get the sports involved in basically the clubs and that, and get more clubs, girls football playing. That basically were in our own county. But that would be on a national level as well. And basically, making it easier in that, because, you know, coming together, because basically what you had at the moment, Greg, is basically you had to have do courses if you're involved in the ladies, and you had to do courses if you're involved in men. But basically what is all working together now, if you do one course, it would cover you for female sports, and it would cover you for the men's sport. Again, basically in 2 weeks' time, we're going to do the player pathway. And again, this is a new initiative between the men's Camogie, the men. So every boy or girl that will come to the gate will get the same treatment, will get the same basically training, and will get the same basically put in a place that they can make sure they can achieve what they want to be their best. And that's what's important. That basically any girl or boy that comes to a gate, they get the opportunity that basically that they can be the best that they're at that sport.
Now, obviously, at the senior level of the sport nationally, you know, we can say things are improving. We've seen great attendance and, you know, we're seeing closer ties between both the men's and women's game at the top table. But then really, the proof of the pudding often is in the eating. And we saw how the women in Galway were treated in the semi-final towards the end of last year, eventually going on to lose to Cork, if my memory serves me correctly. I mean, that's the reality of it, though. Still to this day, women playing football will be treated in a way that you wouldn't even dream of treating men. How do we make sure that that is not the reality going forward?
You see, Greg, you know, you probably hit the nail on the head. And this is where the problem is. In our association, if you do something wrong, there's plenty of people to give you coverage. I mean, you know, we can look at, and I'll go back to the point brought up in relation to last December and the Galway Cork game, as you rightly said. But the issue I find basically is the national media and RTE, they do not give the same coverage to the ladies that they deserve. But if we do something wrong, or basically get something wrong, they're the first out on the national papers and RTE and that. So again, you know, I mean, it's all right for RTE and the national papers, I mean, talk about gender balance and talk about equality and all that. It's no good them speaking out both sides of their mouth here. I mean, in the association, our association is in inception since 1974. We have built a huge organisation and a wonderful organisation. Going back to your point last December in Galway, in 2019 was the first time ever our All-Ireland semi-finals were in Croke Park. Unfortunately, 2020 was like no other year. Unfortunately, we all know with the pandemic and people lost lives and all that, it was just to everything up in a heap. we are probably lucky to get the championship going ahead. In relation to the date with the Galway-Cork game, as you rightly said, that game was supposed to be on a week earlier because Cork had ladies playing in Camogie. We moved the game for them. Both county boards and both managers were asked on the morning of that game they could go back to the following Saturday to play it. Both county boards and both managers agreed they wanted the game played. Both managers and both county boards had no issue at the time of the game and playing in Cork Park. And let me say, like, I mean, if you go back years ago when the Men's National League games were on before Christmas, they were moved. Why were they moved? Because basically pitches were unplayable and frozen pitches. I mean, it was the first time that we'd have frozen pitches or waterlogged pitches. But unfortunately, it was an All-Ireland semi-final. It wasn't the right preparations. But I mean, when do we ever play an All-Ireland final the week before Christmas? And that, so I mean, that's trying to put into perspective what did happen here.
And I mean, I don't want to get bogged down on this because this is a very positive day for you, but you spoke really quite strongly there in this regard. You know, you've blamed COVID, you've blamed the media, you've said the management of both teams need to take responsibility. It doesn't sound like the LGFA did anything wrong then at all, and there are no lessons to be learned. I mean, is that a fresh start, really? That your first interviews as the new LGFA president is really to say, really, one of the big controversy from last year wasn't really that big a controversy at all.
Greg, let me state here very categorically: I never said that basically we're blaming the COVID for the problem. I'm saying basically you put everything into context. You take the year that was. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this ship has sailed. I'm not a person to keep looking back, Greg. Mm-hmm. You keep looking back, you don't move forward. But I mean, in answer to your question, and I mean, I didn't say we as association, and if you heard my speech on Saturday, I mean, if we thought we were the perfect object, we wouldn't keep moving. I believe, you know, every organisation gets things wrong. Is there things we can do better? Of course there is, Greg. Yeah. But I mean, I was putting into context basically what happened on the day to me. I think our All-Ireland finals are always in September. Our All-Ireland semi-finals are in August. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, it was a weather issue here. But I mean, also, as association, we try to accommodate dual players. And that's why the game was moved a week as well. And so, I mean, it's not a blame game here. As far as I'm concerned, that ship has sailed and we moved on. And I'm looking to 2021 to a better year.
Yeah, and no organisation should really be above sort of reproach in terms of, you know, asking critical questions and seeing, you know, what possibly could have been done differently and what can we ensure won't happen again in the future. I know people can get quite defensive, but I think it's always healthy to have an opportunity to discuss these things. In terms of getting games on this year, Michael, how from a scheduling perspective, how big a challenge lies ahead?
It definitely, Greg. I mean, you know, we had our fixtures planned on it, and it was out to county boards. I mean, unfortunately, Greg, that will all have to be scrapped again. We're waiting basically on NPHET and we're waiting on the carpet to give us the green light to see when it is safe to play our sports again. So again, hopefully, I'm looking to the 5th of April, and hopefully that we get some kind of a green light there that basically we can go back. Looking at the moment, the National League, I'd say, you know, to be honest with you, will probably be scrapped for this year because we just won't get it fit in because come to April, our league finals were supposed to be on. So looking forward then basically, you know, is to get the clubs back up, get a provincial championship and also get an All-Ireland series net. And also basically, you know, we want to give some time more to the clubs. And I think it was the first time since, you know, the foundation of our organisation that we had given standalone time to the club. And, you know, again, on my speech on Saturday, I said that it's very important that basically the club get the recognition that it deserves because at the end of the day, the club is the grassroots, it's the foundation that our organisation is built on. And we have to make sure that we work with the clubs and basically bring the players in because you asked the question earlier about, you know, what can we do? If we give support and help the clubs, they're the people that gets us the players, they're the people that brings in the players, and they're the people that get the numbers for us and our association.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where you have a bottom-up approach but also a top-down approach in that, you know, obviously you need to support the clubs and get them on a good footing to attract new players, but then when we see these amazing footballers playing in front of big stadia, you see young girls, they want to emulate them and then they might want to go and join their clubs. So it is that sort of a, you know, bottom-up and top-down sort of approach that probably will work best for the game when these, you know, people want to be their heroes.
Correct, Greg. And, you know, I mean, for us from an organisation, you know, I'd have to say, you know, huge credit has to go to Little and also to Toonie G for the coverage they have given us and the promotion they put in and the marketing to our game. We as an organisation could never afford that. And if you look at the ad at the moment, I think that Little is running. And, you know, and the times that we're in it with very little sports going on, that basically put an ad like that on RTE, you know, level the playing field. And I think basically that sums up exactly, you know, what our association is all about, because, you know, we still have a fair bit to go to get that field leveled.
And just, you made some comments as it relates to the media, and I think, you know, like, we've seen in the past with different sports that, and in fairness to the sponsors and the network you mentioned, they have contributed greatly, I think, to the rise in popularity of the women's game. But in terms of the media coverage, you know, newspapers, radio stations, television, what do you think sports journalists, if they want to be fair and equal and not just judge sports necessarily on how many people are going through the gates, you know, you have to look at into the long term and try and help and assist and grow that. Is it to give it the women's game equal prominence to the men's game as much as is possible?
Exactly, Greg. I mean, in fairness to yourselves and all the local radio stations, you know, has given us a huge, huge coverage. And in fairness to the local newspapers, you know, locally, it's done very, very well. In fairness, we're getting huge coverage with Kempion. It's basically when you move to national level. And that means, I feel RTE, like, if you look at it, basically, you know, you have the Sunday game on there for the men's, you know, there's no reason that basically, you know, they couldn't do it Sunday game for the ladies all our weekend or give us some coverage of our games. We're not looking for a full Sunday game. But I mean, you know, if we got 10, 15 minutes on our games, I mean, it's about promotion. Because in our slogan for 2020, basically, you know, you said, if you can't see it, you can't play it. And that's very important. And, you know, for us as a marketing, I mean, and getting our games out, also in relation to the national newspapers, I feel they could give us more coverage as well.
Because, and they could be at the start of something too, because look at, you know, obviously the Premiership was soccer was always popular, but until it got really good coverage, it exploded in popularity. The same could be said of boxing when they started showing live boxing instead of, you know, Saturday night highlights. The same with darts, snooker, and I'm not putting ladies' game football in with that group, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, the national media could be at the beginning of something and help to grow something, you know, and not just follow their coverage, allow their coverage necessarily to follow gate receipts.
Correct, Greg. And when you look at Little, when Little moved into Ireland, they were seen as a German company. They got involved with the Ladies Association because basically they knew that we were involved at every rural club, in the community. Also with Toonie G. Toonie G was coming, basically starting to build when they came in with the Ladies Association. So basically with Toonie G and with Ladies Football, we have built together. And I feel definitely there is been an opportunity now there for the national RTE and basically the national papers that we can do a lot more together. And I would be, you know, willing to work with that and look forward to leading that out in my term as president of the Ladies Association.
Yeah, okay. Listen, and you've got 4 years, so it's a long enough term that you will really be able to say this is where we were at when we took over and this is where we're at after 4 years. So it'll be an interesting period of time. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Greg, and thanks to your listeners.
No problem, and the best of luck. And of course, we'll be touching base on a number of fronts with you. Thank you very much indeed. That is Micheál Nocton there, elected president. He was last year of the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. He's in situ now for 4 years. 086 60 25,000 is the text.